We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Doug Cinceri joins us now. If you have any questions about your insurance coverage or legal issues, you can call 504-260-1870. We'll put you on with him. And I think it's important that you call maybe as opposed to texting because he may have some follow-up questions. How are you, Doug?
Good morning, Tommy. Fighting a good fight.
Well, good for you. That's all you can do. One thing I got a question about is the seal tab roofs. And I understand what you're saying, and it will tell us first about seal tab roofs and what it is that the roofing expert told you.
Well, basically, there's a couple of components to it. And the short version is this, and I am relating with the experts that told me, not based on my own individual testing, because I try to stay in my lane and not get outside of it. But what I've been told was most of these seal tab roofs cannot withstand sustained winds over 90 miles an hour, which most of Southeast Louisiana experienced. There's a couple of components to it. First of all, you have, they are called seal tab shingles. And what happens is when these seal tabs become unsealed, then your roof becomes exposed to the elements because it's no longer sealed. So one, when you have these unsealed tab, what is the good of having unsealed seal tabs to protect your roof? Mm-hmm. And basically what there are is like a piece of paper that's flapping on top of your roof. They may maintain its position there, but they're not secured. Number two, you have like granular loss that on the exterior of the seal tabs. Three, you have, if you have attached, chances are it will not match your roof. So you'll have basically uneven exterior to your roof shingles. Number four, if you patch your roof after a hurricane, it probably voids the warranty because a lot of these roofs are still under warranty. And if you patch it and it has been through these gusts of 80, 90 miles an hour, then it voids the warranty. So I think what a lot of the insurance companies have decided in the interpretation of their policy is that, see if we can settle these claims or resolve these claims with a patch and not a replacement. So it's very important, if you have a roofer who gives a recommendation or estimate, to put in the estimate that based on their experience and based on their understanding of the wind loads on that particular roof, it needs to be replaced and not patched.
I'm looking at this not from the engineering standpoint, I'm looking at this not from the legal standpoint, just from the bottom line pragmatic standpoint. This is going to have to go to the Supreme Court if the insurance company are going to replace all of these seal tab roofs, because you're talking about an extraordinary amount of money. Would you agree or disagree?
I agree, and I will tell you part of the strategy of the insurance company. If they take a position like this, I think they are counting on 50% of the policyholders throwing their hands up and just dealing with it without taking it to the next level. So part of the strategy is, even if we are required by the courts or we have a lot of unfavorable rulings pertaining to these roofs, we still think that 50% of the policyholders or 60% will not pursue it to that extent, and it'll take a lesser amount. And basically, from an actuarial standpoint or a bean counter standpoint, we're still ahead. So it's a very cynical view. It's very hard to swallow, but I believe that is a factor in their taking this very extreme position.
All righty, 504-260-1870. If you have any questions or comments about your adjuster or about whatever it is you're facing with the insurance company, you can call in and Doug will answer your question for you as best he can. A quick text comes in here, Doug. Ask Doug who is responsible for repairing the damage to a fence, shed, car, carport, or roof when a neighbor's healthy tree blows over onto your property during the hurricane.
That, you know, that's an excellent question. If a healthy tree blows over on your property during a hurricane, unfortunately, the homeowner who is a recipient of the tree from the other property would be responsible, or your homeowner's insurance would. Because basically under Louisiana law, the only time your neighbor is responsible for a tree blowing down or damaging an adjacent property is if the tree was diseased, that the neighbor knew the tree was diseased or was reasonably ascertainable that it was unstable, and that was the cause of the tree blowing down. So for the most part, your insurance company should pick that up. As far as sheds and other structures, that is under your other structures portion of your policy. You have usually four primary components of homeowners coverage. You have structure, other structures, loss of use, and contents. And so the other structures is usually 10% of your structure. So in other words, if you have $200,000 of coverage for your main structure, you'll probably have $20,000 for your other structure. So that would be under your other structures portion of your policy, and your car would be under your auto policy.
All right. Let's take a break. Load up some more calls, 504-260-1870. We'd like to hear from you if you have any questions about contesting your claim or the claim you made with the insurance company or what the adjuster is telling you. How do you go about disputing it? What chance do you have of winning that? What power do you have, really? I'd like to know. 504-260-1870, what your question is, and Doug can perhaps help you through it. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, Doug Cinceri, our guest, host of All Things Legal here on WWL, back in a flash with you. All right, well, Douglas, apparently you've blown out the phone lines because if people are calling and getting a busy signal, there's something going on with AT&T, but they're working on it.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to text the question in at 504-260-1870. The only time I can remember anything like this happening, Douglas, was when we gave away Rolling Stone tickets with a chance to meet Mick Jagger. That's the only time the phone lines have been blown out like this.
I'm in good company, I guess.
Well, you know, I am the best amateur lawyer you know. To help you through the recovery, we have added a new show to our lineup for the next few weeks, the WWL Ida Recovery Connection with attorney Doug Cinceri. Tonight and tomorrow night from 8 till 10 p.m. next few weeks are vital for anybody or any business that suffered damages from Hurricane Ida. We will continue to provide invaluable expert advice, so don't miss the Ida Recovery Connection with attorney Doug Cinceri tonight and tomorrow night, 8 till 10. Yes, Doug?
Tommy, I wanted to tell you, tomorrow night I have Shaw alumnus, retired federal judge Jay Wilkinson.
Oh, really?
Who was Shaw graduate. Yeah, he presided over 300,000 Katrina claims, and he's going to be with me 2 hours tomorrow night to talk about his point of view on resolving these claims.
Outstanding, so, Doug. I'll be sure to promote that tomorrow so people will know, especially a Shaw alum, that you don't. That happens often because we have a lot of us in high places.
Yeah, he said he's the second most prominent Shaw alum he knows.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. Compared
there
to
you
federal
go.
Judge. Yeah. Here we go. A roofing company came to our home following the storm. Oh, so with the phones blown out, you're going to have to text your question in was the point of that. 504-260-1870. Roofing company came to our home following the storm. They nailed tarps into our roof. My husband was home while this occurred, but it took time for him to realize what was going on. They didn't knock and did not seek permission. They obviously had the wrong address. We have concerns that shingles have now been compromised. What legal rights do we have if our roof is indeed now compromised? Now, being the amateur attorney that I am, I would say, Doug, they'd first have to know who it was that nailed the tarp on, right?
Exactly right. You'd have to know who did it first. And the second aspect of it is, if your roof needed to be replaced, it may be less of an issue because your roof would need, you know, would need, you know, be required to be replaced. But if for some reason it didn't, chances are, if you have a blue tarp, there's not many times, in my opinion, that it would need replacement. Then that company could be liable for the extra damage that they incurred by improperly or without permission putting that blue tarp on the roof without direction.
All right, here we go. 3 months ago, 3 months prior to the storm, I put a new roof on my house. The adjuster came, noticed 30 shingles need to be changed. Do I need to ask them for a new roof?
I would say yes. I mean, first of all, you can't match them. Number two, if you have 30, you know, depending on the testing, I would just say from my perspective, if you have 30 shingles that are off, you probably have a whole lot more that are loose and unsealed. So that would be very indicative to me that you would need a new roof. I would insist on it. I'm sure any roofer with experience would back you up on that.
So does it go, or if you have one area with 30 missing shingles or 30 dispersed throughout the different places on the roof, does it matter? Does that come in, enter into it?
I think it's a more compelling argument when there is dispersed all over the roof. Because, you know, I think it gives the insurance company an argument to say it's only in this acute area. So, therefore, that it only needs to be replaced. In my opinion, it doesn't matter. But going to, arguing that in front of a third party, if it's more dispersed, that's a little bit more compelling. But, again, even if you have 30 shingles, how are you going to match it? I mean, you know, your roof might look like it has a black eye. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not going to match, and it will not be aesthetically pleasing. And a lot of times, too, it's going to void your warranty. If you're under warranty and you do a patch job after a hurricane, you're not going to have a warranty anymore. So, again, those factors indicate to me whether, you know, whether they're dispersed or not, they should be replaced. But having dispersed damage is a little more compelling than just in a isolated area.
So what's the magic number of shingles? They said 30. Is it 5? Is it 10? 1?
Well,
15?
I think what our roofing expert does is he goes in four different parts of the roof, and if more than 30% of the shingles are unsealed, that's his threshold. Now, the insurance company is using a higher bar to determine whether a roof needs to be changed. They're saying whether you have creases in the shingle itself. Some are. So there, I think what appears they're doing in this 23 days in the aftermath of Ida is they're raising the bar or raising the standard for a roof replacement or the testing for it. But basically, if you get your roofer who just goes on, you know, different parts of the roof, east, northeast, south, and west, and there's, you know, maybe more than 30% of roof loose shingles than unsealed shingles, then that's a pretty good indication you need a new roof.
Everyone mentions homeowners, says this text, but when does homeowners kick in and apply? We have shingles missing and a fence down, no home damage, or we can tell in St. Bernard Parish, but winds were reportedly 100 miles an hour. Is my house compromised? I applied and they said I was denied because they determined it was a wind event. I don't understand that. Go ahead.
Yeah, some insurance companies do not provide wind and hail damage. In other words, they'll say, we'll provide liability, but we will not provide wind and hail damage. Get it from Louisiana Citizens or another company. So that may be the situation where you have a liability policy that covers fire, but it doesn't cover wind and hail. And, you know, it was incumbent or it was supposed to be told to you, you need to get that from maybe Louisiana Citizens, the insurer of last resort, or another insurance company who writes wind and hail just as a separate policy.
Well, what the hell do they cover? Just fire?
Yeah, they cover fire and zombie apocalypses, you know, or stuff like that. You know, more remote events. I'm being facetious. But
yeah,
just basically, it's just fire and basically fire and liability. If, you know, you trip and fall, someone trips and falls and they have some type of lawsuit against the homeowner. You know, that would be covered, but they don't cover wind and hail. A lot of people have come across, you know, obtained that policy, and they were dismayed to learn that was carved out of their policy, and that it wasn't clear to them they were supposed to get a supplemental policy to cover that wind and hail.
I had damages, says this text from the 985 area code, to my roof from Hurricane Claudette in June of this year. They sent enough to replace the entire roof. I received the check the day before Ida hit, received even more damage on my roof as well as interior ceiling damages now. I now have a second claim. They took the entire named storm deductible out of my first check. Well, I now have to pay a second named storm deductible with the second claim.
Good news, no, you will not. Any deductibles that you paid in this season will be accumulate, and you will not have to pay another deductible.
I've not made a claim yet, Doug, because I know I'm not going to come close to the deductible. I don't think I am. I don't know. Should I have somebody walk the roof? Should I see if I can't see any missing shingles? What does somebody in my place do where it would appear to be just the fence?
I would make a claim just in case we have like a Zeta in October. Uh-huh. You know, hope to God we don't. But if you do, I would make a claim just so that you would have part of your deductible eaten up. It may be a good idea if you see a roofer, you know, working down the street or something, to ask him to walk the roof for you to see if there's any roof shingles, because a lot of the damage to a roof is not visible from the ground level. You have to really get up there. And that's one of the complaints that homeowners have had. They're saying my adjuster won't get on the roof, but he's telling me that I don't have roof damage. So you really have to get up on the roof and do some testing or some analysis to really determine whether you have roof damage or not. But it's not always readily apparent ground level.
I cannot get through because the phones are busy. They're actually locked up for some reason with AT&T, so we apologize for that. You're going to have to text your question in at 504-260-1870. Please, please, says this text, ask Doug, should I give the insurance adjuster the contractor's quote first, or should I wait for the adjuster to give me their determination and then send to the contractor?
I think that's a great question. If the adjuster has already come, and he said he's going to issue a report in a week or two, I would wait and then give that to the contractor and let him sort of build off of that and look at, you know, what the adjuster said and maybe make some comments about their analysis. But if you're in a situation where you still haven't had an adjuster assigned to your case and it doesn't look like they're going to get out there till October or November, go ahead, get your contractor to make an estimate and submit it to the insurance company and let them know in the letter that the clock is running, because the insurance companies have a 30 and 60 day period to pay undisputed payments once they get enough information as to what are the undisputed damages. So this is where the law works in favor for you. If you make what they call under the law a satisfactory proof of claim, which means apprise them and quantify the damages in a way that's digestible to the insurance companies, they have a 30 or 60 day period to make payments that are undisputed, that they're not disputing as damages. And a lot of them don't do that. But if they don't do that, and then you take them to the next level, they could be liable for attorney's fees and penalties. And so, like, you know, I think in the Katrina go-around, we went to court maybe four or five times because insurance companies didn't pay when they're, you know, within a 30 and 60-day period. And we, in each of those cases, we did get attorney's fees and penalties. So if it doesn't look like your adjuster is going to be at your residence or business anytime soon, go ahead and submit your contractor's estimate. Say you have due proof of loss, satisfactory proof of loss. Pay me what you don't dispute within 30 or 60 days, or you can be liable for penalties and attorney's fees.
Doug, I hate to ask you this on the air, but we got a little bit of a communications issue. Do you have a couple more minutes or not?
Absolutely. By all means.
Well, good. We'll continue to take your questions then at 504-260-1870. You're going to have to text them in because AT&T's got a little problem with the phones, but we'll get it rectified. 937 Traffic Now, WWL. First of all things legal, Doug Cinceri, who will be on tonight to help you out from 8 until 10, and then tomorrow night from 8 until 10 with retired federal judge Wilkinson, who presided over a lot of Katrina cases and who is a Shaw alum. We have some phone problems. I apologize for you to you for that. You have to text your question in to 504-260-1870. Doug, one text. looking for clarification. Only one named storm deductible per season or per 12 months, and they're talking specifically about Zeta and Ida.
Per season, as related by the Commissioner Donlin.
November 30th, I guess, is when they're saying it
yes,
ends,
yeah,
right?
I guess it's May 15th to November 30th, yes.
All right. Text comes in about moisture content in the wall here. And it's kind of lengthy, so I'll try to get through it. If my moisture reading is reading over 20% on all the exterior walls, but I cannot see the damage, the insurance will not agree to pay to open those walls and replace the insulation. Do I have a fair argument for this? Some walls are over 50% moisture. On a wall here, the exterior gable wall collapsed, showing the plywood, rather.
Yeah, I think it's a great argument. Plus, if you take one wall or portion of a wall out, you have to take the entire wall out. The other issue, which is a little more subtle, let's say you have one wet wall and the other three are dry. You still have to be paid for painting all four walls, because when you replace that wall, you're still going to have a exterior paint that matches all three. And a lot of times you have to check your adjustment if a wall is removed to make sure that, you know, the other remaining walls that may be dry do get a couple of coats of paint so that they're matching. But yes, the moisture content is very important, because a lot of times a lot of the damage is not visible or hidden. And, what would happen is, if you have a high moisture content that's not visible, maybe in 6 months or even less than that, you might start having mold and some other problems. And if it's too remote, then the insurance companies will say, well, that was 9 months ago, the hurricane. You didn't have visible damages, and they're going to fight you on that. So it's very important to analyze the moisture content, especially in areas near where you did have some water stain and in adjacent areas, because it's not always visible.
This is interesting. My contractor had me sign an agreement where his company's name is added to the check. Did I make a mistake?
Oh, it depends. Depending on what his agreement is with the contractor, I understand that there's fewer contractors than damaged houses, so the contractors do have so much of a competitive advantage. It could be a mistake if their work's deficient. If their work is good and it's according to the contract, it probably could work out. But the problem is, what I'm finding is a lot of the contracts that are signed with the by homeowners with the contractors, the scope of work is not defined. And the other issue is, cost of supplies. Whether there's going to be a variation for that, or how do you deal with that? Because supplies are in labor, or there's shortages and the prices are going up. So, the most important thing is to get a licensed contractor, get your scope defined, try to get a time period as best you can, given the delays and labor shortages. And depending on how the contract reads, it may or may not be a problem. So that's a tough question to ask. But before you would do that, I think a phone call to an attorney, just, a little short consultation would help mitigate the possible problems with that.
Another question comes in about an estimate from a repair person. How specific does it have to be in terms of specifications, type of paint, type of wood to be used, drawings, pictures, etc.? Or do you take them at their word? How do you navigate all of that, Doug?
That's a tough question, because the insurance companies use a computer program called Xactimate. I think it's Xactimate. Mm-hmm. And it would be preferable to find a contractor or a public adjuster who uses the Xactimate program, because when you are comparing damages and comparing supplements, you're comparing apples to apples to oranges to oranges. Now, if insurance company receives a estimate from a contractor based on square footage, or maybe a one or two page estimate saying, the dining room X, the living room X, they're probably going to kick it back for lack of specificity. The insurance companies will require basically you to account for every nail, every piece of shoe molding, and every piece of sheetrock in determining the damages, which is tough. So if you can get a hold of a contractor that uses this Xactimate program, he is gold. Use it, and it's a lot easier for the insurance companies to digest a supplement in the Xactimate format than just a handwritten one- or two-page estimate by a contractor.
And by supplement, that's like a change order where, well, we got into it, and then we realized this was damaged?
What typically happens is the initial estimate given by the insurance companies is going to be what I would call as a lowball estimate. And then it's incumbent on the policyholder or the homeowner to demonstrate that there's damages more than that. So if you could get a contractor in the Xactimate format to say, hey, your estimate's 50% too low. Or, for example, if the insurance company pays 30 and the contractor says, no, I have $70,000 of damages, if it's in the Xactimate program, you submit that to the insurance company, and then they have 30 and 60-day time periods to determine what portion of the supplement is undisputed and they have to tender. So it helps get additional money in a supplemental claim after the initial tender by the insurance company is deficient.
This is a good question. I'm sorry if it's been asked and answered 100 times, but is there a deadline to file a hurricane claim with my insurance? Are there any exceptions to that date?
You have a 2-year prescriptive period to file a lawsuit. So you basically have 2 years to work it out without filing a lawsuit. If you can't within that 2-year period, you'll have to file a lawsuit to preserve your right to go beyond that 2-year period.
In a minute that's left, and I'm going to combine a lot of text here, how do you go from dealing with your insurance company to getting a lawyer to, do you have to get a lawyer when you deal with your insurance company? I guess people are wondering about the whole process. You make a claim, you get somebody out to inspect your damages, then you make a claim, then you try to haggle with the insurance company, and if they won't move, then you get an attorney?
Yeah, I would say the best time to get an attorney is when you hit that brick wall and you feel like that you have no possibility of getting another cent out of the insurance company voluntarily.
Okay.
And that's when you do it. Try to get as much as you can voluntarily before you hire a lawyer.
Go ahead.
And once you hit that brick wall, maybe that's the time to get help.
And very quickly, if I accept money for a claim, does that mean I am not able to file a supplement?
No. That money is unconditional tender. You grab that money, and you have the right to file a supplement.
Thank you, Doug. We'll be listening tomorrow night and then Thursday night, and it's nice of you to do that because a lot of people have a lot of questions. Thank you, sir.
Tonight and tomorrow night. So,
all right.
Tonight,
thank you.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right,
Tommy,
thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Nice talking to you. 9:53 now. Coming up, we'll find out what Newell Norman's got planned for us today here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.